Are you looking to start or expand your offer online sharing your knowledge? Looking to identify the gaps in your current sharing and marketing strategies? Or are you simply looking to trial a new platform that will help you grow your community, protect and schedule your content and events? Why not join us at the Wisdom on Wisdome Summit from your desk, wherever you are, on the 14th and 15th of March, 2023. Keep listening for more details. Welcome to the Wisdome Podcast, and today we're chatting with Nicole Stewart. Nicole is an amazing woman committed to living an out-of-the-box, extraordinary life and supporting others to do the same. She works with businesses, teams, entrepreneurs, and individuals around the world to support them in connecting with their own inner compass to live their truth courageously in the world. Along with her amazing coaching, Nicole is also hosting events now and then. And at the time of this recording, Nicole collaborated with three amazing women to tackle the big issues faced by many ambitious women, like imposter syndrome, perfectionism, and discussing how you can identify and create professional environments conductive to your thriving. She is an amazing woman indeed. Nicole, Nicole, welcome to the Wisdome Podcast.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's a real delight to join you. So, yeah, super excited for our chat.
Oh, I just want you to share your story because it's amazing, your background. Tell our audience how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, wow. Okay, it's been a journey. So I've been coaching now high achievers in a variety of fields for 12 years. And that journey began because I was involved with professional sport. So I rode horses and I was a very aspirational horse rider. My goal was to one day go to an Olympic Games. And in 2008, I actually had a really significant horse riding accident. And recovering from that accident, what I learned was that my ability to sit on the horse and ride was not what made me a great athlete, or not only what made me a great athlete. It was also what I was thinking and how I was feeling that made the difference to my performance. And that was what sparked my huge lack of confidence after that accident, was what sparked my personal growth journey and where my passion and my nerdiness, I guess you could say, for peak human performance was sparked and where it began. So I began coaching athletes, primarily equestrian athletes, people who wanted to perform at their best under pressure, if they were elite level competitors, or more grassroots athletes, or people who'd had like a accident and they were suffering from confidence challenges. So I started working with those sorts of people and went on this big journey of training under whoever I could and learning all that I could and becoming qualified, obviously, as a coach and dove into wanting to understand the internal workings of human performance beyond our, you know, physical ability to hit a tennis ball or run a business meeting or whatever it is that we do, but what makes us great from the inside out.
Yes.
And in 2016, I had a life change trajectory again. I actually went through a journey of burnout and that prompted me to ask the question, do I want the next 10 years of my life to look the same as the last 10? And the answer was no. And at that time, I was competing two grades down from Olympic standard in the equestrian sport of three-day eventing, and I made the choice to give up professional sport. And my curiosities evolved at that point to wanting to understand more about our emotions and trauma and physiology and the nervous system and how those aspects influence and impact our performance. Wow. And seeing the gaps of the ways that I'd worked previously with a more cognitive sort of performance psychology lens and wanting to understand the body more and its role in peak performance, and getting really curious in particular about women and our physiology and the ways that we're actually unique and different to a male-bodied human and how do we therefore thrive slightly differently? And that's what's evolved my work to be what it is today, which is working with high-achieving women or ambitious women in a variety of fields to support them to have the success that's important to them without sacrificing themselves for it, without burning out, without without having the stress and pressure from that professional environment overflow into their personal relationships and their health and the other things that they do. So
I love that.
That's the short version or the mid-length version.
You know, I remember when, you know, I first met you and that was just like late last year, we're having this conversation and I just, you hit the nail like when it came to just pointing out, obviously a simplified version, but
totally
it was
fine.
The hats we wear. Obviously we wear so many hats at work, whether you're running a business or you're at work or whatever it is, but then trying to transition from all those hats to the hats you wear in your personal life, you kind of forget that. And especially someone, you know, who runs a business from home, such as myself or other, you know, people out there who are, you know, creating these knowledge businesses and so forth, like they're tapping into this whole field of, I've got to share my knowledge, I've got to share my wisdom, and how am I going to do that? Da, da, da. And then all
thinking
of a sudden,
and doing and all
exactly.
of those faculties.
And there's that audience too. So you've got to think of how you're sort of communicating with that audience. And then all of a sudden changing to mummy hat or wife hat or whatever it is,
totally.
Talking to your friends, talking to your children, talking to whoever, it's a completely different thing. And just, you know, we all, it's funny, it's one of those typical things, we know it, but you don't know it until it's actually brought up and organized in a way to understand the whys of what, you know, what to do and how to just simply go from wearing that hat to wearing the other hat. You know, it's not, it doesn't come as easy as we all think it does it? So I love that you've tapped into that. That is a fantastic coaching sort of niche right there. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the results that get us great, the traits and the qualities and the ways of being that get us great results in our businesses and our careers are not the same traits often and ways of being that are going to get you great results in terms of creating connection and harmony in your family. And like, you know, which is, when you say it, as you say, it seems obvious and people are like, oh yeah, that's really true.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've lived inside this culture that has so validated and rewarded us for being successful and productive and outcome oriented and all of those like high performing traits that our culture really values. Mm-hmm. And when we get rewarded for that, and you look at sheer volume of hours, people spend most of their lives at work, often anyway, that's not the blanket, but many people spend most of their time in that thinking, doing, producing, results-oriented state. And it's easy to forget, like, oh, there is another choice. And how does that feel in my body? How does it feel in my body to be open and soft with my husband or wife or partner? Or like, how does it feel to be playful with my children?
Mm.
Because it's very different to being
hanging out with the crew at work. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
It's not exactly the same. But I just, you know, I think it's an amazing, you know, journey that you've been on and how it's sort of evolved to this point. And I think so many of us, you know, we find ourselves at burning point. It's just like, okay, something's got to change. And the recognition of that, I think, is an amazing turn for so many people out there who decide to sort of go down whichever path it is. But it's good to hear when people do recognize that and change it for the path that you've especially made in helping other people. I think that's really admirable. And with respect to, so going down that coaching path and, you know, this is obviously we have an audience of people who might be looking to start, you know, sharing their knowledge or they already share their knowledge and might be wanting to evolve or change and so forth. What would you say was one of the big things you noticed? And look, it's all personal. Everyone's different. But what was one of the things you noticed when you started going down the path of coaching, a learning curve that you had to go through yourself?
Yeah, great. That's a good question. I feel like I was fortunate that coaching and sharing my wisdom was something that came quite naturally for me. I've always been a people person, and for better or worse, I was always the friend growing up that people came to for advice because of the way that I thought or the way that I perceived things. Yes. So the actual being in a relationship with someone where I'm supporting them to think in a different way or to perceive their possibilities in a different way was something that I sort of felt like came quite naturally. But I think my biggest learning journey, particularly with sharing my work with the world, has been a journey of being more honest with myself about the parts of me that are struggling, being more attuned to the parts of myself that aren't just competent and capable and like know what the answer is, but being able to like have my humanness be part of the work that I do and the way that I share with the world. I think that in today's world, particularly for content creators and course designers and coaches, it's quite a saturated market. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there sharing great quality wisdom. And to some degree, information is free. You know, you can Google anything. What people invest in, I believe, when they engage a coach or they choose to participate in a particular course is the unique transmission from the person that they're learning from. And for a long time, I fell into the trap of having like this sneaky, insidious belief that that meant that I needed to be some version of perfect. And I tried really hard to be perfect and to sort of, and that was a reflection of my own personal journey as well. But it, certainly in the way that I showed up in my business was very polished. And what I've learned is that actually having my humanness, my vulnerability, my clunkiness, my like, this is a bit awkward. Awkward moments, humanness online and integrated into the way that I share, the way that I work with people, the way that I teach has actually made me much more relatable, has also significantly reduced my stress at work because I wasn't running this cycle of, you know, is this good enough? Is this perfect? Like, you know, the facade, the work the facade that it requires. And so I think for, you know, for me, the learning was that like all of me is welcome. All of me is really valuable and that people are coming to me for the transmission of Nicole Stewart, not for the information that I'm going to articulate to them in some perfect way. And so
you're
going to
get the
people,
ums, the ahs, all that sort of stuff. It's going
the F bombs. I nearly threw one out there, but you know, the humanness. And I think that for content creators and for course designers, humanness is so important. You know, humans want to feel other humans and they want to trust. They want to trust the person that they're learning from, and that trust comes from actually that piece that you spoke to, relatable, like being relatable and being able to connect with and keeping yourself safe by pretending to be perfect is both stressful for you and makes you a little bit like hard to connect to for your audience. And I see that a lot with people who are building wisdom-based businesses.
And it's like, you know, when you like, I like you say, like the transparency thing is really important to me as well. It's like, you know, you've got to know who, you know, this is me as a person. You don't need to know all about my personal life and stuff, but me as a person, it's like, you know, when you meet someone, it's, I never forget, you know, my husband saying to me, you are a creation of everything in your past. So don't hide anything. You don't have to hide anything of, you know, all the bits and pieces about you. You know, you don't have to be, you know, this person or that person, just be you. And I, when it comes to, you know, trying to not trying, but when it comes to actually approaching a coach or approaching a course or whatever, you want to know that whoever's going to be sharing their wisdom with you, you want to trust that person. And I think, you know, when that person might have a particular facade, a lot of people can read the BS. Yeah, they can see.
They're smart enough these days.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with online, we've all been online long enough to actually pick up the cues and go, yeah, I'm not too sure about that person. You know?
Something feels off here. Even if they're not conscious of it, people will sort of feel something and go, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, as soon as you're yourself and you can actually connect with people, just being yourself, it's so important. But I'd love to know with, you know, when it came to, you know, all these years you've been coaching, obviously you would have had a lot of challenges or a lot of wins and so forth, but is there
so
any one
particular iterations.
Is there one particular challenge that you recall that might have just changed the way you do things a little bit? Or I know there's always lots of them for us, but yeah.
Oh gosh, so many. Well, I can answer that question in two ways. So I'll give them both.
Any way you want.
on one layer, in a really like brass tacks business sense, my biggest challenge has been systems and consistency. Yeah. And my business has been very much founded in my inspiration and my curiosity and my passion. And so through those 12 years of coaching, I've had different iterations and different business names and different branding and I've worked with different niches. And while I think that's natural, I also can in retrospect see some of it was some avoidance of really doing the hard work to translate what I do into a system.
Right.
And into something that was grounded and replicable and clear and articulate and had like a foundation to it and ground to it, for want of a better word. And that was a real process that I had to get a lot of support with and I had the experience of feeling like translating the work that I do, because it is a little bit in the intangible, some of the work that I do. It's not just business coaching where I'm promising somebody a greater return on their like marketing investment or something like that. There's some sort of esoteric, spiritual nature to the work that I do. And so translating that into something that's been clear and grounded and relatable for people, that system and that translation piece has been hard for me personally. And so it's just been something that I've had to get a lot of support with, and that was a bit of a sticking point in my business until I got it right. I actually feel like it's a that was just a personal place that I found it really hard to do the translation. It was like the language that felt most natural to me didn't necessarily land for other people. And so I saw my work for women who I knew that I had the solution to their problems, and I knew that what I can do would provide incredible value for them. My work wasn't getting picked up in the way that it could have. And the language, like I knew that the problem was in my expression of what I do as opposed to in the problem with the work itself, because like my client retention is ridiculous and women who come to me have incredible transformative experiences. And, and so that piece has been challenging, and I am just a naturally more creative people focused person. So when it came to the like nitty gritty work of getting into the details and building the systems, I was like,
I don't want to do that.
Gotta be grown up. Business owner.
The whole paperwork. Admin's never fun.
Totally. And so I can really see the avoidance of the nitty gritty. Reflected in the fact that at times my business has been ungrounded and yeah, that there's been a lot of change that's followed my inspiration. So that's in a really like brass tacks business sense.
Yeah.
And I think the flip side, personally, the biggest challenge that I've gone through was in connected to my burnout in 2016. And I mentioned this as a talking point because I see it be so relevant for entrepreneurs and for business owners, was that I was so in my head. And I was so freaking smart and so like, I'm going to control all the things and understand all the things and know all the stuff and so avoiding my, like my vulnerabilities, so avoiding the part, like actually knowing how and being with the parts of myself that were scared and that were like, I feel stressed. I don't know how to do this. I feel afraid. I don't feel the way that I want to feel. I was so unable to acknowledge that in myself and so trying to work it out from my mind and had all of these, you know, incredible, like world-class performance coaching tools that I was like, I've got this handled and was totally disconnected from my body. And that meant that I had low libido. I had like incredible stress and nervous system tension. I was grinding my teeth at night. Like I was waking up with all of these intrusive, stressful thoughts. And those are so many of the things that I see in the clients that I work with today are these symptoms of, you're like,
putting my hand up.
totally. These symptoms of, us just being in our head and unable to actually move the energy that is that emotion through the body in a way that it releases. And an analogy that I use for that is like, if this is a soda bottle, I don't know if you're going to use the video of this in the recording, so I'll explain what I'm doing. I've got a bottle, like imagine having a soda bottle and you shake it up and then it's going to be all like full and tight because of all of the carbonation. And if you just keep adding that stress to the system and shaking the bottle more and then shaking the bottle more and then shaking the bottle more, eventually it either explodes or when you do try and take the lid off, there's just soda everywhere. And that is like our bodies and stress and tension and emotion. But if we don't healthily move those things through the system in a way that is actually supportive.
Yeah.
And I imagine that to be like getting the top of the bottle and going and like doing little opens and then closing it again. You know how you do that when you've got a Coke that's been like rolled around too many times and you want to open it without covering yourself in soda.
Dicky soda.
But knowing how to release that sort of tension that's accumulated in your system, you know, sitting at a desk and just typing and being in the head and being in doing mode.
Yeah.
And knowing how to feel and move those sensations through the body in a way that means that you're not just carrying them around. Yeah. That was a huge, huge learning for me that not only changed my life personally, but also really informed my work and the coaching that I do because it was so transformative for me to learn about the difference between just being in my head and actually inhabiting my body.
But the fact is that, you know, you're also like there's people that talk about mindset and so forth and there's people that talk about, you know, obviously there's a physical coaching side of things, but I think what you do as well, you have that connection between the two where you actually understood why the body reacts a certain way based on the physical, based on the stress. And that understanding is really beneficial to anyone that sort of comes along and works with you. And I think that's amazing. One thing I'd love to know is, was there any sort of lessons that you've learned from your clients that have directed you to the way you, like where you are now?
I can certainly see, and I believe this to be true in coaching in general, is that we will attract the clients that we're ready for.
Yeah.
Like, I look at the women that I work with today and the sophistication of the challenges that they're facing, and like the complexity and the size and the risk that they're at and those sorts of things. And if those people had shown up in my world 10 years ago, I just would have been so out of my depth to support them. And so, you know, not like that would have, I just don't think I would have attracted those sorts of clients to me. And so what I can see when I think of answering that question is ways that I've been immature in my coaching, and ways that I've just been, like, I look back on some of the clients that I worked with 8 and 10 years ago and even 5 years ago through the lens of the skill set that I have today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there was such a gap in the way I was showing up for that person. And I can see that now because of the depth of my education and experience today. And I can see why I was, you know, having people get stuck in behavioral patterns that, even though they knew they wanted things to be different, they couldn't quite change them and those sorts of things, or the behavioral changes would stick for a certain amount of time, but then they'd slip back into their old ways. And when I look back on those, like, challenging clients, I'm like, oh, there was a real skill gap in what I was providing. And I think that's natural as we grow and evolve. That's part of it. But I can certainly see, not necessarily from like active feedback that was given by clients, but certainly like that passive feedback of me being able to see those patterns of challenge and how I was responsible for them, how I as coach was, that there was gaps in what I was doing.
We're all learning, coaches, our clients, whatever it is, everyone's learning along the way. But there's even that sort of moment of that click between you and the client as well. You may think that it's going to work and so forth. Did you have any clients that you just went, I actually probably am not the right person for you?
Totally.
Move through. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the great things that we can do for ourselves as coaches and as content creators is to be really discerning about who it is that you're here to serve. And that means not just knowing who your niche is and who your like ideal client avatar is, but also who they're not. And you know, that your marketing and everything then becomes a filter. So hopefully there's less of those people like slipping through into the net. And but if you do find yourself sitting with someone who is looking for something that's outside of your skill set, the best thing that you can do is be honest, firstly, with yourself about that and with that person that you're working with. It's going to save you both a lot of time and discomfort. And there's real gold in just being honest and naming what you're noticing. And I think one of the most common ways that I see that showing up for people who are like life coachy type humans is when they end up sitting with someone who has some more like complex trauma stuff going on and recognizing, oh, I have some great tools, but this person needs some therapeutic support. That is one of the common places that I've made the decision in conjunction with the person that I'm working with, that it's actually really right for them to go and do some work with a therapist and then come back. And then I'm super, super happy to support you and do the work that we're committed to
here. They appreciate
here.
That, don't they?
You totally. People want you to be honest. And even though that conversation might feel a little bit uncomfortable and it might mean that you need to face giving somebody a full or partial refund, depending on how far into a journey you are with them, I believe the sort of the maintenance of our integrity as coaches and being willing to be honest when we're wrong or when something isn't right, being willing to just have those refunds available or do those sorts of things. It means that it's clean. It means that you can then move on to serving the people who are your clients without that sort of icky, like,
And I get that because I can totally understand. But at the same, you know, when that happens, it's also just embracing that moment and saying, you know what, this hasn't been a waste of time. We've been able to achieve that there's a different way of doing this, or it may be a different time to do this.
It's
just being honest and open. Because I know the reason I brought that up was because, yeah, there's so many situations where I think as a content sharer, you don't, this whole perfectionist side of things, you don't want to let people down. So you'll just keep trying to push to try and help, but you're just going to be like spinning that wheel.
Totally.
That muddy, you know. Yeah. It's just going to keep spinning. Yep. It's not going to move forward. So you've just got to sort of wipe it clean sometimes. Yeah.
I think there's something admirable about that. to an extent.
Yeah.
And you know, I am a creative risk taker in like I have quite a high tolerance for risk. So like I've lived and died a little bit by the like entrepreneurial ethos of I will jump off the cliff and build the parachute on the way down and I will say yes to things that feel really challenging to me and then figure out how to solve those problems along the way. And I think that we just have to be honest with ourselves about when that is in professional integrity and when it's actually being a bit of a cowboy with somebody else's life and somebody else's investment when they've trusted you as a source of guidance and as a source of like support and help in their lives. So there's an interesting balancing act there, because I think the willingness to take risks and be bold and be a little bit brazen is one of the things that sets entrepreneurs and business owners apart. It's like, that's beautiful. Those are gorgeous qualities. Totally. Like, oh yeah, right. I'll have a go of solving that problem.
Do that.
No, sure. Yeah. Like I just wouldn't be in business in the way that I am if I hadn't done that a whole bunch of times along the way. Yeah. And like anything, then there's the shadow side or the bad side of that, where I don't like the word bad. Doesn't feel right.
Challenging
there.
The
where it can get a little murky side of it, right, is when you're edging on being out of integrity with what's actually inside your capacity. And that can be a hard thing to know sometimes. And so willing to be honest and reinvent yourself and make amends with people who, like, if you have made a mistake, is really important. And then I really believe being willing to sort of forgive ourselves as business owners and being willing to say, oh, that was a mistake and these are the things that I've learned from it, and have a cry or punch a punching bag and do whatever it is that you need to do to move that energy through your system.
Yeah.
Like get the learnings and move on.
And move on. Exactly. I appreciate that, because that happens, and obviously it happens in entrepreneurs, I think, almost daily sometimes. It's like, why am I doing this again? Oh, yeah, that's right. And then keep going. But knowing when to sort of recognize and go, this is probably something to sort of let go of or alter or whatever. But, you know, it's always problem solving. It's just the constant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any advice you would give someone who is looking to start a coaching business?
I love this business. It's been such a gift and such a journey of self-growth and such a deeply gratifying thing to get to do to help people's lives change. Like, I love being a coach, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard to be the face of a brand and to sustain it and to, like it can just be a challenging journey in a whole variety of ways. And I think that goes for business ownership as well as coaching.
In general, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How do I distill a piece of useful advice for a person starting a coaching journey? You keep learning. Like, keep getting good teachers and people who you admire and being immersed in their world. And I would say go beyond, if you're starting out, go beyond the like surface of whatever it is that you're teaching and really get deep, immersive nuanced wisdom about something to share with the people that you're supporting. Like, understand your subject matter mm-hmm. from every possible angle, and be like, you have to be a bit obsessed with this yeah. work to do it well, I think. Mm. And, you know, I sort of saw last decade, it was like personal trainers were a dime a dozen, right? Mm. You could do a 6-week personal training course and be like, yeah, come and this decade, that's sort of like life coaches, yeah. right? It's like, there's just so many coaches and self-proclaimed coaches on yeah. social media, like, you know, spouting platitudes and selling stuff to people. And the way that you differentiate,
yeah,
because some of them have really sexy marketing.
Yeah.
But the way that you differentiate is to really have deep subject matter expertise and wisdom and nuanced wisdom in whatever it is that you want to teach. And so I would say that for people who are embarking on this journey, choose something that you want to be in love with, like that you're obsessed about and you're a bit nerdy about. You know, I am so passionate about human performance and growth and women thriving and our nervous systems. And like, I'm every day nerding about like my own, my own way of living and learning from expert teachers and people that I'm so excited to grow with and to soak up more knowledge from. And it gives me so many layers and angles from which I can help someone when I get in a room with them. And I think that that's really important for good coaches and good teachers, is to be deeply immersed in whatever it is that you're going to teach.
And on that point, you know,
excuse my passion and nerding.
Just be passionate and nerdy. Yeah. But on that point, you know, I do want to share too that, you know, with our audience, that Nicole is actually going to be one of our speakers at our Wisdom on Wisdom Summit, which is in mid-March coming up soon. So, you know, register. But Nicole will be on both days, actually. She'll be sort of bookending our summit, because I really believe, you know, what, you know, you've heard, you know, obviously through this podcast, Nicole is amazing and obviously very passionate, but truthfully so, like, it is very true in what your passion is. And it's, you know, balancing that life and recognizing signals and all that sort of stuff. I think it's amazing. And I think especially venturing into this world of, you're opening yourself up to an online world when you're sharing your knowledge, your wisdom with people online. So there's that sort of moment of, you have to be open with them. So you've got to be open with yourself. And I think, you know, you've got to learn, you'll learn a lot more from Nicole during our summit and gain a lot of insights here and there, more tips and so forth.
Yes.
But I do want to ask you one last question. What legacy are you looking to leave?
Oh, legacy am I looking to leave? I want women to know, and humans in general, but I'm particularly passionate about women. I want women to know that they don't have to choose between a life where they are doing meaningful work that challenges them and inspires them and excites them and being like soft and relaxed and open and sensual and living a really rich personal journey that you don't have to choose. And that in fact, our world, I believe, will be better off when women are living in that state of fullness and openness and relaxation and trust and are doing work that inspires them and lights them up. And, you know, I see women so often as the linchpin in their family ecosystems and their workplace ecosystems, that when women are radiant and happy and soft and flourishing, their family is also going to be really happy generally, and their teams are going to be more alive and inspired and engaged. And, you know, it's fascinating, but like the research that's been done recently in the impact investment space, slight tangent relevant to my partner's work, of like how much better and a fund will, like, how much more success they will have in their investments when there are women in the executive suite of that firm in the decision-making roles, and when there are, like, female and feminine energy there contributing and co-creating. Like, our world thrives when the women are thriving, and and that feels simplified because obviously all humans are really important, but the emotional and spiritual and physical well-being of women is so important to the way that our world functions and our families function, and women having access to that fullness and radiance and acceptance and love for themselves, as well as doing work that they're inspired and challenged by, feels like something that I'd like to influence and impact in my time here floating around on this rock.
Well, I love that, because you're really heading down, going up that path.
Thank you.
I'm really sharing that, and I really appreciate that. With that, do you have an offer that you'd like to share with our audience?
I would love to. I would love to. And to the beautiful men tuning in, this isn't for you. I apologize. For the ladies, I have a beautiful 13-week journey called the Her Mentorship for ambitious or successful women who would like to dive into creating a foundational, like a fundamentally different relationship with themselves, and re-energizing their bodies, creating safety in their systems so that they can truly live in all of their expressions, both their like fragile and tender and their big and powerful, and to create their life from a place of deep alignment with their authentic heart, their soul, if you will. And that program is actually going to be starting in April, not long after your Wisdom on Wisdom Summit. And so for listeners to this podcast or for attendees at the summit, I would love to offer 5% off your place in the Her Mentorship if you'd like to come and journey with me and deepen into the work that I do and receive some of that wisdom for yourself. So I will share the link with you, Nick, so you can share it out.
It's amazing work that you do. And don't worry, all the details of Nicole's offer will be in our podcast summary below. But again, Nicole, you have been amazing to talk to.
It's been a really fun chat. Thank you.
And all the energy that you provide, it's just amazing. Again, though, the details for Nicole's offer and, our summit and so forth will be in the podcast summary below. Be sure to click on the link and subscribe. Again, Nicole, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate every minute you gave me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me. And it was a really fun conversation. It was, gorgeous to be here. And I'm looking forward to the summit.
You're beautiful.
Thank you again for listening to this episode on the Wise Dome podcast. And don't forget to subscribe. To learn more about the summit and also receive a 30% discount code to the Wisdom on Wisdom Summit, see the link below. But honestly, if you are serious about sharing your content, earning from it, and creating a business lifestyle you're seriously looking for, we would love to have you join us in our Wisdom on Wisdom Summit. And it's running from the 14th and 15th of March 2023. It's only 97 AUD total, and you'll walk away with access to the Wisdome platform for 30 days free use, plus guides and support offers from our experts. Now, our experts are award-winning experts in their fields, and they'll share their expertise, and their expertise is based on years of experience and results, not just qualifications. We would love to have you there. You will gain so much out of this. Anyway, details are below in the podcast summary, and we would love to see you there.